Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Romans 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, again for the day, for the Word of God, and for the house of God, and the privilege of being able to come today to worship you in spirit and in truth. I ask and pray that you guide and direct in services tonight. I pray that you just take the message and use it both here and by way of radio, and we'll thank you and praise you. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. And amen. You be seated. I thought my verse of Scripture is verse number 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I thought Brother Hall, well, he was bouncing all around it in his thoughts this morning. I thought he's going to get it. He's surely going to quote that one, but he didn't. But it was amazing. That's how that when Brother Josh was in the Sunday school, men's Sunday school class this morning, how he was talking about the doctrines that we need to know. And how he started out with, it's not, you know, we ought not to believe just because others believe it, whether it be a pastor or a parent or someone like that. We need to believe it because we've read it and it's in our own hearts, and we know and we're able to give answer to those why we believe what we believe. Amen. And of course, we see a lot of doctrine here in the Word of God, especially here in Romans and the first several chapters. A lot of doctrine here, justification and a lot of other things here that's found. And so we thank the Lord for that. And as I was looking at this, the Lord laid this scripture on my heart, and didn't know exactly where He wanted me to go with it at first. As I was reading down through there, of course, as we read down through the scriptures here, We read those words, therefore. It starts out, the whole chapter starts with therefore. And so, as been said before, when you see a therefore, you see what it's there for. Amen. It goes back to the previous scripture. We see there in verse 12, wherefore, because of everything that's been said, verses 1 through 11, a wherefore, you know. And so, it all builds upon another, and one thought and transitions to another. I got to reading back in verse, chapter number 4, and then, I got to reading back in chapter number 3, and some of the scriptures there, and how that, there is, it just keeps building, justification by faith, and then, justification by faith illustrated in, as far as Mr. Schofield's, notes there, and then here in, chapter 5, Mr. Schofield says that the results, the 7 results of justification. So a lot of justification, a lot of doctrine here. Even in the scripture, the first 11 verses that we read, a lot of things like that, justification and redemption and things like that. And so we want to look at this a little bit. I looked at Mr. Henry and gleaned some thoughts from him. Looked at Mr. Gill, John Gill, and gleaned some thoughts from him. And again, my main thoughts was in verse 5 and verse number 6 and verse number 8. Verse number 8 primarily, but verse number 6 is very similar to verse number 8. Let's read verse 6 and 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, I got to thinking about that and how that we were ungodly and just who that Christ died for and one thing another. And I don't know, normally in my margin of my Bible when a preacher preaches it, I will give credit to who said it. But somewhere along the way, I have written something here in my Bible, and I don't know because I didn't put down who. But it says in verse number 1 and 2, we access grace by faith. The more faith we have, the more grace we can access. And we see that here, and therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But, so he's talking about justification by faith and the access and what a blessing it is. In fact, as we go down to verse number 6 and 8, which I want to get to, but we see the, and not only here, but later in the scriptures, later in the passage that I read today, we see a lot of the benefits in salvation. And of course, justification by faith and then access by faith into the grace that we stand, and then also that we can glory in tribulations. You say, how in the world do you glory in tribulations? Well, you can glory in tribulations by knowing these things, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So a lot of things there in that list there, tribulation, of course, patience, experience, and hope. And then we see the love of God there in verse number 5, and how we can have those things. We do have those things in Christ and being justified by the faith that we put in Christ. But Mr. Henry points it out there in verse number 6, we were without strength, and he just says, in a sad condition, and which is worse altogether, unable to help ourselves out of that condition. Brother Hall kind of just really honing in on that and some of his thoughts this morning, how that we were dead in Christ. We were without hope and we were unable to do anything ourselves. So we were without strength there in verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So again, we were unable to help ourselves out of that condition, lost, and no visible way to open for our recovery. We were in a deplorable and desperate condition, and therefore salvation is here said to come in due time. God's time to help and save is when those that are to be saved are without strength, that His own power and grace may be more magnifying. We had to get to a place that we realized that we were, which is what Brother Hall was pointing out this morning. God had to come to us and show us and open our understanding to the point where we were, one, without strength. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were unable to help ourselves. We were in our sins. And I know that it's a little bit different passage of Scripture. Peter was obviously already saved during this passage or this time that I'm getting ready to refer to, but we can use it as an illustration when Peter was walking on the water, you know, and he was, and then he was out walking on the water. He said, bid me come. And he said, come. So Peter's walking on the water like Christ is, but he gets to looking around him at the waves and the wind, and he lost the, whatever was holding him up. He lost sight of the Savior. And again, a different connotation. I want to make application here. When we were sinners, dead in trespasses and sin, when we were without strength, as Peter was, again, not unto salvation, but this is referring to salvation. When Peter began to sink, he said, Lord, save me. You know, and that's, he realized real quick that he could not save himself. He realized real quick that he was in a fix. He was in a strait and he could not get up out of that water And I thought about that illustration and went, I liked what happened. And then when he said, Lord, save me immediately, the Bible talks. I love that word immediately there in that passage of scripture, because immediately Christ was there to pick him up out of them, out of those waves, and then carried him back into the ship. But that's basically where we were as sinners. And if you're a sinner here tonight, that's where you have to see yourself without strength, without any. Well, first you have to see yourself as, and that's later on, ungodly. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Ungodly, and then and that you are a sinner. But without strength to save yourself, Peter called out, "Lord, save me!" He realized he was unable to save himself as he began to sink. I got to thinking about the time that the Hall clan went down to Florida, and we went out. We ferried ourselves out to an island, and it was interesting because it was just the family. And on the front side of this island, on the Gulf side of the island, and really probably those that know better, it was probably not a good day to be swimming in the ocean, at least because the waves and the wind was pretty stout that day. But we being from Kentucky, not knowing any better, we jumped right on in. And there was some times, I mean, when you're in the ocean, and especially when the current was what it was that particular day, and you could feel the earth move out from underneath you, that wasn't a good feeling. And then you get just, you get a little tangled up in one of those waves, and it begins basically to roll you with it. Thankfully, it rolled you into the land instead of out. But there was times that that one of them caught me just wrong, and I was under, and I was under, and I was like, you know, got a little bit of concerned there for just a few seconds. But the way that the wave just kind of hits you, and I kind of understand maybe just a little bit what Peter felt like when he began to sink there and needed some saving, needed and called out to Jesus. But we as sinners had to be that way. Those of us that are saved in here, there had to come a time a couple of Sundays ago when those that were here, the Lord began, by their testimony, began a work in their hearts when Brother Ronnie Simpson was preaching. And God began, through the Holy Spirit, began to show them that, hey, they didn't have what Brother Simpson was preaching about. And Brother Lockard come in and just followed right up with that that message. And God, again, began to show them that they were without strength. They were unable to save themselves. They did see themselves as a sinner and unable to do anything about it. But then Christ has done it already for us. That's what I like about that, because, like I said, God's time to help and save us is when those that are to be saved are without strength. We have to get to that place, and that God's got to get us to that place. God's got to open our understanding and show us that we are a sinner, and there ain't nothing we can do about it. There is nothing we can do about it. We could work, and there's a lot of people that wants to work. They want to do good. They want to turn over that other leaf. They want to do better. But you can't do better and get to heaven. You just can't. You have to, it's just therefore being justified by faith. Amen. That's the only way that you're justified. Nothing, no strength in yourself, no doing better, no turning over a new leaf, nothing like that. It's only by Jesus Christ and by His shed blood, which we'll get to that here in just a minute. So we were without strength, and then He died for the ungodly. Mr. Henry says, not only helpless creatures and therefore likely to perish, but guilty, sinful creatures, and therefore deserving to perish, not only mean and worthless, but vile and obnoxious, unworthy of such favor with the Holy God. That's where we were, those of you and those of us that are saints of God, those of you that are lost, either by here in the auditorium or those maybe by way of radio. I put this out on Facebook, just the fact that I was preaching, not to try to uplift my, but it's amazing sometimes some of my posts at the number of people that'll chime in on it. And some of the people that I know, whether it's old high school friends or whether it's old acquaintances from the Air Force, There's a whole lot of them that I know that don't know Christ as their Savior. And just, I put it out there strictly because maybe out of curiosity, one of them tuned in tonight to WSOF.org. And maybe one of them is listening tonight. So maybe there's one here in the auditorium tonight. Maybe there's one by the radio tonight. Maybe there's one by the internet tonight that's listening to the sound of my voice, that's listening to the message tonight. You have to realize that you are ungodly. Simple as that. And again, this is Romans chapter 5. And as I pointed out at the beginning of my message, how that it just keeps building and keeps building and keeps building. If you turn back to Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have proved, or before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And as I read that, it says, as it is written. So I looked in the center column reference and said, where is it written? It's written in Psalm 14. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's where we are, sinners. That's where we were, sinners, amen. Those of us that are saints. But then that's where you, as a sinner, are if you're still a sinner. If you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, that's where you are. You don't seek after God. You can't seek after God because you're dead in your trespasses and sins. Amen. And you're filthy. You're abominable. And there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Back over in Romans chapter 3. They are all gone out of the way. Verse number 12. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. The Bible continues, their throat is an open sepulchre. Their tongues, they have used deceit. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. One of the things, maybe you're listening by way of radio, and I see this at work. I work a public job. One conversation, I mean, people's got a forked tongue just like a snake. One of the side of their tongues is blessing. And they talk about God and they talk about prayer and they talk about, but I mean, in the very next conversation, you can walk, they can walk around a corner, meet up with somebody else, and there's cursing on, there's cursing coming out of the same mouth. And that's where it's describing it right here in Romans chapter 3. And what gets me, I mean, they think that they're all right. Some of them think that they're all right. Some of them, if they really was honest with themselves, know that they're not all right with God. But yet they say they believe with their mind that there is a God. They believe with their mind that there is power in prayer because they ask you to pray for them all the time. But they are yet without strength. Amen. They are dead in their trespasses and sins, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction, misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. And I see that verse of scripture in their to hear them talk, I mean, just misery. They are miserable creatures. And you think to yourself, like I mentioned Wednesday night, how in the world do these people live in this society, live without Christ as their Savior? To listen at what's going on in their lives, you know, I mean, just, I mean, you hear of fornication. You hear of children being born out of wedlock. They almost glory in that stuff. They glory in their sin. I mean, you know, the pain and the destruction that their sin winds them up in. You hear of people having to go to court. You hear of all this stuff that they just, and you're thinking, you know, you could do better if you would just, you know, well, if you would come to Christ, you could definitely do better. But even in life, just life's choices, it's just like, where are they thinking? Where are they coming from? They're just, and just, you think, how in the world? But it's, They're just described right here in Romans chapter 3. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's where people are. And if we go on over here in verse number 23, or on down, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And so, for all have sinned, we have pointed out here, there is none righteous, no, not one. there is none that seeketh God, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that's where we are. They're ungodly. We were ungodly. They're ungodly. Sinners without Christ are ungodly. And we just described the list there. There's none. If you were born of a woman, then you come through Adam's race, Adam's seed. Guess what? You're ungodly. Amen. And you have those young babies in their innocence. They will come the time that they have to become, they have to accept Christ as their Savior. We can't do it for them as a parent. I wish we could. I have some of mine that have gone astray. I wish I could have done it for them, but I can't. They've got to come to this knowledge by themselves. I thank the Lord for passing by my three the other Sunday by their testimony. And I trust that God, and I appreciate Philip requesting prayer for Andrew the other night. And just keeping that, you know, keeping him, because he is not doing right. He's lost. It's just like I forget who it was. They just said he's lost. Pray for him. I guess it was one of the preachers here recently talking about their son. And that's where we just gotta. Sometimes we have to just come to realization as those that are saved of our children. Even though we want the best for them, we want to think the best about them. There comes a time that just like they haven't got to realize that they're lost, we have got to realize that they're probably lost, so we know how to pray better for them. But they are ungodly, but He died for the ungodly. And that's what the blessing part of that verse is, that we were without strength. We couldn't do it ourselves. We were ungodly. We were just, as Mr. Henry put it, we were mean, worthless, vile, obnoxious, and unworthy of such favor with the Holy God. But in the fact that He died for us, what a blessing that is. Amen. Amen. And that's the gospel message. That's the good news going out here tonight via radio and via the internet and right here in the auditorium. Christ died for us. What a blessing that is. Amen. And the fact that we were without strength, but He died for us. Amen. Being ungodly, they had need of one to die for them to satisfy for guilt and to bring in a righteousness. He illustrates here in verses 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he illustrates His love in those verses. He also does the same thing. If you want to turn just briefly back to John chapter number 15 and verse number 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. So, He shows His love in the fact that He laid down His life for us. And we all know, even those that just barely know anything about the things of God know, have at least heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us, and in giving His Son, He commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners. So before we knew anything about it, Christ died for us. And that's what the real blessing about it is. We were ungodly, yet Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. Before we were even born, hallelujah, Christ died for us. Amen. Looking forward, He already had paid the price. He already had laid down His life. He had already made a way. He had already made a plan. He had already give Himself for us so that when we when the Holy Spirit showed us our lost condition, then He could point us to Christ and the only one that could save us. Amen. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so, at this time, just Mr. Gill about verse number 8. He has some interesting things to say here. Of course, that word commendeth, he regarded, one of the words that when I looked up commend, he regarded His love. Mr. Gill says He manifested it, that word commendeth. We understand recommend, you know, recommend. So you can kind of look at it in that way. So He manifested His love toward us in the fact that He laid down His life for us. He died for us. He hath manifested it, which was before hid in His heart. He has given clear evidence of it and a full proof and demonstration of it. When He laid down His life, He gave full proof and demonstration of His love toward us. When God gave His Son, He gave full demonstration of His love for the world. Amen. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mr. Gill says, God's elect were sinners in Adam, in whom they were naturally and federally, as all mankind were, hence polluted and guilty, and so they are in their own persons whilst unregenerate. They are dead in sin and live in it, commit it, are slaves unto it, and are under the power and dominion of it, and many of them are the chief and vilest of sinners, and such as they were considered when Christ died for them, but are not God's people sinners after conversion? Yes, but sin has not the dominion over them. Their life is not a course of sinning as it was before, and besides, they are openly justified and pardoned, as well as renewed and sanctified, and live in newness of life, so that their characters are now taken not from their worst but better part. So, again, Mr. Gill points out the same thing Mr. Henry did. A little bit different in the fact, and I'm just going to make it, I mean, he was talking about kind of in the past tense or whatever, a different tense, but I just want to bring it down to where you are as a sinner, if you're here as a sinner tonight. You're polluted, guilty, unregenerate, dead in sin, you live in sin, you commit sin, and you're slaves unto sin. And you're under the power and dominion of sin. Just like we all were when before we knew Christ. Amen. But those that know Christ have been freed from all that. We're still sinners, but we're pardoned. We're still sinners, but we're justified. I don't understand all that, but I believe it. Amen. And we're sanctified, and we have received the newness of life. And what a blessing that is. And I'll get there in a little bit. Amen. So what a blessing. So anyway, so the first, in the fact that the character that we were under when Christ died for us, hopefully that I've got across to you, amen, is as a sinner, you're ungodly. Amen. As a sinner, you're a sinner. And you're ungodly, unregenerate, and that's why you need help. Amen. But you've got to get to the point where you realize that you need help. You've got to get, and hopefully the Lord, through the Holy Spirit of God, will show you that tonight. Amen. We were without strength. And when we were without strength, He died for the ungodly. Amen. And He commendeth His love. He manifests His love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid the pardon. He paid the penalty. And going back up to verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into His grace wherein we stand. So we have peace with God. That's another blessing that we have, not only that other list, but peace that passeth all understanding that comes in knowing that Jesus Christ, that you're justified by faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood. And we'll get to that blood here in just a moment. Amen. Oh, me. All right. But Christ died for sinners, neither righteous nor good, not only such as were useless, but such as were guilty and obnoxious. There it is again. Not only such as that were, not only such as there would be no loss of should they perish, but such whose destruction would greatly redound to the glory of God's justice, being malefactors and criminals that ought to die. That's where we were. We were guilty. And you know what's really sad about this whole thing? I thought about this afternoon is when you die without Christ and you face the penalty of the second death, and the Bible describes that in Revelation when death and hell, you go to hell and then death and hell will be brought up. You'll stand before God in judgment and death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible declares it in Revelation that that is the second death. And God is justified in sending sinners to hell and sending sinners, casting sinners to the lake of fire because of sin. And what's really, really, really sad about that, I mean, you're going to pay the penalty. If you die without Christ, you will pay the penalty of sin. The wages of sin, the Bible tells us, is death. I'm glad it doesn't stop there, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. But so many people are going to die without Christ, they're going to die lost, and they will pay the penalty of their sin. But what's really sad is, and what the message is about the gospel, and the gospel message is that you don't have, you can accept Christ paid the penalty. And in Christ, you can be justified and you can be forgiven of your sin and not have to go to hell and not have to be cast into the lake of fire. And what a blessing that is. Amen. Christ died for sinners. So we mentioned that we ought to die as a sinner, but Christ died for us and we could be forgiven of our sin. Let's see. Now herein God commendeth his love, not only proved or evidenced his love, but magnified it and made it illustrious. When we think about Christ and we think about what he done on the cross for us, and we think of all that he saved us from, amen, that penalty of sin, that hell, and then the lake of fire eventually. What a blessing that is. And so he commended, he manifested his love, but he magnifies his love in the fact that he died for us while we were yet sinners. I mean, he looks down upon us and we were filthy and vile. You know, our righteousness, the Bible tells us, was as filthy rags. And you know, there's some pretty putrid stuff out there. Amen. And, years ago when we were in between houses and we were living in the prophet's chamber, I had some meat that we put in a cooler and then we didn't keep it iced down like we ought to. And guess what happened? So me and Joshua and Andrew was out here at the dumpster with my cooler of putrefied meat. And I opened that thing up and the smell just about knocked you down. And I remember Andrew, he was just like, just pulling away from it. And I said, boys, I said, if you ever read... I said, if you ever come across that the definition of, what was it? Rancid. There we go. I said, when you ever read rancid, I said, that's what rancid is. Amen. Just so you'll know. Amen. So we got it all cleaned out. But the filthiness of that rancid meat, the smell of that rancid meat, you know, you come up, I mean, we could illustrate it by just, you know, animals. We could rent, you know, just the smells and the vileness of things that we have experienced in our lives. That's what God, you know, how that I was turned away from that smell. Joshua and Andrew was turned away from that smell. Years ago when we was up in Canada, one of the men in Brother Messick's church was a hog farmer, and he used to have several hundred head of hog, but he had pulled it down to just, you know, a little bit of. But Andrew had never been around a hog farm before, and so we wanted to see the pigs, amen. So there was a little path. He had a kind of a Quonset hut type shelter for his hogs, And Andrew, you know, being a boy, he was ahead of everybody. We were just walking along, but he was running along. So he run ahead of us, and we met him on the path running back to us. Amen. Because he got around the corner there and seen the hogs in their mire, and he said, no. And that hit him, and he headed back toward us. And, of course, I used that as an illustration. I said, when the Bible talks about that hog returning to his mire, I said, that's mire. Amen. I pointed that, and that smell, that it hit him, and he turned away from that. But when God looks upon us as a sinner in our sin, that's what God, when he looks upon sin, that's what God, he wants to turn away from it because he's holy. You know, but what, like Brother Hall pointed out, just the fact of how that Christ became sin for us. And that's just hard to get your mind wrapped around. And how that, but then God turned his back away from Christ. While he was sin, he became sin for us. He paid the penalty of sin on the cross. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered all that for us. So we now, if we have the blood applied to us, God does not turn back away from us because he sees the blood. Amen. And he passes over our sin, like going back to the Passover. When he seen the blood, he passed over. The death angel didn't come and visit. Actually, the death angel was here and God was hovering. That Passover, God was hovering because of the blood. So the death couldn't get it. And that's when the blood's been applied, death can't get to us. I mean, the physical was going to die, but the spiritual ain't. We're going to live forever. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a blessing that is. And so what a blessing. So while we were yet sinners, implying that we were not to be always sinners, that there should be a change wrought. For he died to save us, not in our sins, but from our sins. But we were yet sinners when he died for us. And nay, which is more, we were enemies. Romans 5 and verse number 10. Let's read that. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, so much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were enemies of God in our sin. Traitors, rebels, in arms against the government, the worst kind of malefactors. The carnal mind is not only an enemy of God, but enmity itself. God loathing the sinner and the sinner loathing God. That's where we were. And for such as these, Christ should die is such a mystery, such a paradox, such an unprecedented instance of love that it may be well, be our business to eternity to adore and wonder at it. This is a commendation of love indeed. Justly might he who had thus loved us make it one of the laws of his kingdom that we should love our enemies. And so what a blessing it is that we were so against God in our sin, but in our obnoxious state, as Mr. Henry points it out, in our vilest state, in our unworthy state that we were in, Christ still loved us, God still loved us, and Christ still loved us and died for us. Amen. So that's where we were. So we see the persons that he died for. And then, now I want to look at the precious fruits of his death. Justification and reconciliation are the first and primary fruit of the death of Christ. We are justified by his blood. Verse number 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Again, you face wrath as a sinner, friend, but you can be justified and saved from the wrath only through him and only through his blood, which he shed for you. So we are justified and we are reconciled. We are justified by his blood and we're reconciled by his death. Verse number 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Amen. And so sin is pardoned, the sinner accepted as righteous the quarrel taken up, the enemy slain, the end made of iniquity, and an everlasting righteousness brought in. This is done, that is, Christ has done all that was requisite on His part to be done in order hereunto, and immediately upon our believing, we are actually put into a state of justification and reconciliation. We're justified by His blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hebrews 9:22. Amen. And I like the fact that immediately upon our believing, we are put into a state of justification and reconciliation. Again, I don't understand it, but I enjoy it. Amen. And I don't understand it all. Why in the world that Christ would die for me, an ungodly sinner that I was. Amen. And then not only for me, but for the whole world. And in the fact of justification by faith, therefore being justified by faith, amen? Faith in His blood, faith in the finished work of Christ, faith in the fact that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for sin, and faith in His blood, and faith in Him, amen, then you can be pardoned from your sin. And then hence results salvation from wrath. So first, the precious fruits of His death, justification and reconciliation, but then also saved from wrath. Verse number 9. Much more then, being justified with blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Another precious fruit, justification and reconciliation, and another precious fruit is the fact that we are saved from wrath. I mentioned hell, I mentioned the lake of fire, and I mentioned the fact of the wrath of God upon sinners. We are saved from that. We will not experience one flame of hell as a child of God. Hallelujah. We will not experience one flame of the lake of fire. Praise God, as a child of God, because we are saved from the wrath through Him. Amen. So that is a precious fruit. Not only that, but we're saved by His life. Verse number 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, I noticed this, and he kind of alludes to this, even though he doesn't necessarily say it the way that I thought about this. But verse number 9, in the fact that we're justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. So He had to shed His blood for justification. And then because He lives, because He got up, we just celebrated Easter a few weeks ago, because He rose from the grave and from the dead. Amen. He is living currently, amen, at the right hand side of the Father. Amen. Making intercession for us because of His resurrection, because of His life, because He conquered death in His resurrection. Then we shall be saved by His life because He got up. So it's not just He died. You see, if He had died and just stayed in the ground, where would we be? We would be no more better off than the Buddhist or the Confucius or any of the rest of them whose leaders are still in the ground as dust. Amen. But Jesus Christ got up. Amen. And because of His life, then we are saved by His life. Amen. Mr. Henry points it out this way. Amen. When that which hinders our salvation is taken away, the salvation must needs follow. If God justified and reconciled us when we were enemies, and put Himself to so much charge to do it, much more will He save us when we are justified and reconciled. He that has done the greater, which is of enemies to make us friends, will certainly the less, which is when we are friends, to use us friendly and to be kind to us. Amen. So, we shall be saved from the wrath, from hell and damnation. It is the wrath of God that is the fire of hell, the wrath to come, so it is called in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. The final justification and absolution of believers at that great day, together with the fitting and preparing of them for it, are the salvation from the wrath here spoken of and the perfecting of the work of grace. So we're reconciled by His death and saved by His life. Amen. What a blessing that is. Finally, it all this produces, when you get a hold of it, amen, when you get a hold of it, all verse number 11, and not only so, but we also, now rewind, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Amen. So another precious fruit of His death, not only justification and reconciliation, not only are we saved from the wrath and saved by His life, but all this, as a further privilege, produces our joy in God. Amen. And God, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can look at it and we can be happy, amen, because we realize all these facts of that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We deserve the wrath of God on our lives. God came by our way and showed us that we were sinners. God, how did they put it? While we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Then God commended His love. He manifested Himself to us, His love toward us, in the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've seen ourselves as ungodly. We've seen ourselves without strength. We've seen ourselves without hope. We've seen ourselves dead in trespasses and sins. And when God passed by our way, showed us all those things, convicted us of our sins, drew us unto Him, pointed us to Christ, and we put our faith in Him, and we realize the justification that comes with that. We realize the forgiveness that comes with that. We realize all that comes with that, and we still ain't got a hold of it. But when we realize even just a little bit that we can get a hold of, that produces a joy in our heart. That's why, you know, that's why we can go down to the workplace and not be in the mully grubs all the time. Amen. Well, except for some people. No, just kidding. We was talking about that at the end of church today. Amen. But anyway. But, you know, the old comic book, Sad Sack. And that's where people, some people have no clue what we're talking, what I'm just talking about. But I remember. Amen. You know, just sad all the time. There is no making people happy. And I've seen people like that. I mean, you could give the man $1 million and, you know, and he would find something to be complaining about. You know, and just gloom and just, but when you realize all that you have in Christ, it produces a joy down in your heart. Amen. Hopefully a joy enough to share with others what Christ done for you. Amen. And that He would do for them if they would just put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Amen. And so all this produces that joy that we have in God. We are reconciled and saved from wrath. Iniquity, blessed be God, shall not be our ruin. And not only so, there's more. Let's see how. There's more. Rewind. There's more in it yet, and constant stream of favors. We not only go to heaven, but go to heaven triumphantly. Not only get into the arbor, but come in with full sail. We joy in God, not only saved from His wrath, but solacing ourselves in His love. And through Jesus Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the foundation stone and the top stone of all our comforts and hopes. Not only our salvation, but our strength and our song. All this, which He repeats as a string, He loved to be harping upon by virtue of the atonement. For by Him, we Christians, we believers, have now in gospel times, or now in this life, received the atonement, which was typified by the sacrifices under the law and is an earnest of our happiness in heaven. The joy that we experience down here is just a teeny tiny earnest. Amen. Just a little taste of what we got to experience on the other side. And we can have all that in Him, provided you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You have to realize yourself a sinner. You have to realize yourself without strength. You have to realize yourself, you know, facing the wages of sin, which is death. You have to realize yourself that. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will show that to sinners tonight. They'll show that to people and help them to understand that they, if they died right now without Christ, that they would justifiably go to hell. That's what's sad. I would have justifiably, my sin, as putrid as it was and as it is, and the longer I go in this life, the more I realize just how filthy my sin was and is. Amen? And then, I don't know, maybe just life's experiences. You realize some things. And when God looks at you, at sin, that's, he just, it's abominable unto him. Amen? Those seven things that are, six things, yea, seven, are abominable. That list, when he, that abominable, that just, he wants to turn away from it. And that's you as a sinner. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when he looks at the blood, it pleased God to bruise him. I don't understand all that either. Except for the obedience of Jesus Christ, laying down his life, being obedient to the cross, and laying down his life, and shedding his blood for sinners. But when the blood is applied through faith in Jesus Christ, amen? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have that joy. The Bible tells us we have that peace that passeth all understanding. We can experience, when we realize all that we have in Christ, it brings us that joy. And again, that's just a little earnest. It's just a little taste of what we'll have on the other side and what a blessing that is. So it's my hope tonight and my message tonight that the message for the saint will just help us to realize at least a little taste of what we have in Christ. Amen. And help us to have that joy and help us have that that desire to go out and share that with others that have that, doesn't have that hope, that are dead in their trespasses and sins, that come in and talk about their misery that they're in, talk about that their lives that they're in. Now, I'm not just going to say that salvation is going to fix all somebody's woes, amen, immediately. Obviously, if you got to go to court next Monday because of something and you get saved on Friday, guess what? You still got to show up in court on Monday. I'm not going to say that it's going to just totally, you know, wipe away things that you got in your life, but it will give you a peace that passeth all understanding. It'll give you a joy. The more you get in the Word of God, the more you understand what we have in Christ, a joy that you'll want to go out and share with others. Amen. And that's my hope and that's my desire and the message for the saint of God tonight. But my hope and my desire for the sinner tonight is to realize that you are without hope. Amen. Amen. As a sinner. But the hope is that you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. He's already paid the price. Amen. He already died for you while you were yet a sinner. He died a few thousand years ago. Amen. He died before you were ever a thought. Amen. Amen. He died for you. And if you'll just trust him, if you'll just trust, put your trust in your faith. Again, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's you, that's all the sinners, whosoever believeth in him, if you'll just put your faith, believeth. Let's see if Acts, see if I can find it real quick. I like this verse. I used to use it a lot more than I have of late. And this is basically another verse of scripture that kind of, let's see here. Testifying, Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Repentance toward God. Lord God, as a Father, Heavenly Father, God the Father, I am a sinner. Repentance toward God. God, I'm sorry for my sin. And then faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. God, I am a sinner and I need to repent. I need to turn. I beg your forgiveness for my sin. And I'm putting my faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What he done on the cross for you. He was that sacrifice. Whosoever believeth in him, that's that faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what it is. That's what salvation is all about. Being sorry to God, the Father, for your sin, and then putting your faith in God, the Son. Amen. And what he done on the cross for you. And it's my prayer that you as a sinner tonight will realize that and come to the realization that you face wrath if you die lost. But you don't have to. Amen. Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he done on the cross for your sins, and you can be saved, and you can be justified, and you can be sanctified. Amen. And that's the message tonight. If we will stand.